Italy is considering a one-time tax amnesty that would pull privately held gold into the formal system. A draft 2026 budget amendment reported by Reuters proposes a 12.5% levy for households to certify bullion, jewelry, and coins by June 2026.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey, and this is the Gold Fix Market Rundown at 7:51 on Friday. Before we get started, our morning written post will be going out later this morning at 10 a.m. At RBC's 2025 Precious Metals Conference, miners struck a conservative tone despite record prices. Executives emphasized free cash flow, as you would expect. Disciplined M&A, which is what has been going on, and jurisdictional quality, which is something that has not been completely cemented yet, suggesting that the sector is prioritizing durability over aggressive expansion this cycle. They're being conservative, and maybe they're under-hedging a little bit, but what they are also doing is they're not spending sloppily. That will be out and sent to premium subscribers only at 10 a.m. this morning. And there's the companies participating, and that's our graphic. Next, front page, we're going to be talking about the Italian gold tax, the news item, as well as an interpretation of that. 10-year yields are down 2. The dollar is 100 spot 19, down 2. The S&P 500 is up 40. And a bounce from yesterday at 65.72. The NASDAQ is 24.153, up 95. The VIX is 25.68, backing off slightly. Gold is down $11 at 40.64. Silver is down $1.23 and on the lows at 49.42. That's 2.4%. Copper is 4.95, up a penny. WTI is 58.63, down 25 cents. Natural gas is unchanged, well, up 2 cents. Bitcoin is down another 3,000, cratering at 83 now and change. Ethereum doing just as poorly at 27.30. Platinum, palladium are mixed. Palladium down 10, platinum up 8, gold, silver at 82. Okay. Grains are all down, with wheat down the most. If you're looking at the gold complex in contradiction with copper, rather than judging it, what's going on? People are buying dips in gold and not buying dips in silver. And we'll get into that a little bit in the context of yesterday's stock action, yesterday's broader market action, and the follow-on probably precipitated by the problems in Japan. The dollar should be a lot weaker, is what I'm implying here, because as stocks sell off, people want to sell dollars in anticipation of a Fed cut. The problem is Japan is not making it easy because Japan's debasement is causing people to sell yen and buy dollars. So overall, that's stable for gold. And it's bearish for silver because it reeks of global economic recession. So why is copper up? Well, people are taking off positions now. It's Friday. Let's get to the first story. Where is that? There it is. Italy is considering a one-time tax amnesty. Considering means they're probably going to do it. That would pull privately held gold into the formal system. A draft 2026 budget amendment reported by Reuters proposes a 12.5% levy for households to certify bullion, jewelry, and coins by June 2026. The government argues this will replace today's much harsher 26% tax on undocumented sales and unlock billions in revenue. But our analysis shows the deeper shift. A forced conversion of private off-book wealth into a fully traceable asset class. Italians face a smaller sanctioned loss today or a larger punitive one later, with long-term autonomy as the real cost. Every nation is doing something like this, whether it be China selling gold to its own people, whether it be Russia selling gold to its own people, whether it be the U.S. manipulate, not manipulating, managing people's expectations by having them, instead of buying Bitcoin, buy Bitcoin on an ETF. It's all the same thing. And it's the growing authoritarian concept that's migrating to the West. The surveillance state is about reducing individual autonomy or sovereign individualism and making it collective. Fascism, socialism, communism, all the same thing when it comes to an individual. And this is part of that. Sounds like I'm ringing a big picture bell on that. I am, because it's happening. If you want to look at it economically, every nation in the West has too much debt. And at the governmental level, debt is basically private versus public debt. So if the nation has too much debt, for Italy, for example, it would be in the form of NERP bonds, in the form of stimulus, in the form of easy monetary policy over the years. Well, that debt needs to be, in their mindset, shifted from being on the public balance sheet to the private sector, or from the government to the people. You need to get that debt to the people. And that's what QT would be in the US. That's what would be when we make people buy bonds instead of stocks. Now, in Italy, they're saying, well, we can have people buy bonds from us, or we could just take their money from them and use it to retire the debt. And that's what it's all about. It's all about tax revenues. The balance sheet needs to be shifted from governmental debt to publicly held debt. And nations like the US and Italy and every other G7 nation have maxed out their governmental balance sheets and in turn jeopardized their own continued ability to function unless they can throw some of this debt out onto people. So they want to give you the debt and take your sovereignty. It is what it is. Continues in the premium post, Italy's gold tax, pay now and pay later. We have a big breakdown of that as well. It's not, it's doom, but it's the right, it's doom. It's, people should pick up on this very soon. Related post, Russia expands gold operations as domestic liquidity rises. This is now being framed by what I would call Ukrainian operatives as Russia is selling its gold to finance the war. Russia is getting weak. That's a load of horse shit. And I don't have to be bullish or friendly to Russia to know that. We're going to talk about that later on. Maybe I'll throw it up on a Spaces. I'm not sure. Founder special, we just sent that out blow by blow on yesterday's bloodbath and last night's Japan problems. And Founder's first look, plus intraday comment and reversals we put out yesterday, I think. No, Thursday morning. Wednesday morning. Breaking Indonesia tariff gold exports and gold fix PM. Okay, coming soon. So this weekend, well, this morning, RBC's London Mining Conference key points will be sent out to premium subscribers at 10 a.m. This weekend, as you may have seen in the mainstream media, UBS has raised its gold forecast to 4,500. Remember, UBS is usually conservative and behind the more aggressive banks like Goldman, like, well, Citibank is actually aggressive now. Deutsche Bank over the weekend explains the inelastic demand driving gold prices. This story is relatively, is it has been ignored by the media because there's really nothing to sell in it, but it's extreme, there's nothing bearish about it. It's extremely important. Institutional gold demand has become inelastic. Gold is up by it, gold is down by it. But most importantly, sovereign entities like India, like China, they're not budgeting for how much gold they can buy. Oh, I've got 1 trillion rupees. How much gold can I buy with that? No, they're saying, how much gold do I need? I need 1 million ounces. Print the money to get it. That's the inelastic demand that Deutsche Bank is talking about. We're going to break that down this weekend. We'll do the HeartNet walkthrough, God willing, and China's real gold totals according to ANZ Bank. 5,500 tons puts them at number two in the world. They're probably at number one in the world. But the West is loath to admit that. Moving on. There's the chat. We seeded that with some things yesterday. It's very self-sustaining now. We hope to get in there, hopefully, when our new hire takes his position at the helm in a couple weeks. There you go. Data, Friday PMIs. They're actually very important. I want to talk about the market action, a little bit of a synopsis of what I showed the founders this morning. There are two things chronologically. Yesterday, stocks sold off, and they sold off after NVIDIA had great earnings, just to give it to you blow by blow. And I'll put the S&P up for you. Yesterday, let me go to the hourly to make it a little bit more understandable. So yesterday, stocks rallied last night. I'm not last night. Before the U.S. Open, stocks rallied. And that rally was right here. That rally was right there because of NVIDIA's earnings coming out and just obliterating everything. And then unemployment came out for September, and the market kind of digested it. And the number was kind of confusing unless you really dug down into it. And I think overall, the number was overall dovish for rate cuts. And so the market ran up a little bit more. And then, for seemingly no reason, the market dives. And when that when the stock market dove, it took gold with it. It took silver with it. And the dollar did not drop much. Usually the dollar will weaken in these sell-offs because the government will increase its chances of cutting rates, so the dollar softens. But it didn't. It kind of got a little bit weaker, and then it got a little bit strong, kind of chopped around. And that was the question for us, that we weren't really sure, you know, why the market was not expecting a rate cut, if you want to take it that way. And then the market kind of bounced a little bit, but gold bounced as well, and gold kept going, right? And at some point, silver recognized that it was like gold too, and it also started going back up. Then stocks sold off again, another whoosh lower. This time, silver and gold did that. So that's how the day ends. The day ends with stocks here, in this area here. And it doesn't look so good. Then Japan opens, and we see why the dollar was stronger. Japan's problems, which have never gone away, come to the surface again. Japanese bond yields go up. The Japanese currency goes down. So it's not really good to have your bonds and your currency to go at the same direction. It's a sign of internal problems as opposed to just rebalancing yields versus currency strength. And that reveals that, you know, they're the ones, you know, the investors there are the ones selling yen and buying dollars. And so you got a little bit of a cascade. What happened in the U.S. goes into Japan. And of course, the Pledge Protection Team came in and stabilized U.S. stocks overnight, which is fine. That's what they do. But they didn't help gold when they did that. So gold is lower again from everyone looking at those dollar correlations, if you will. And silver taking it on the chin even more. But again, $4,000 in gold, $50 in silver, and copper at $5. It's all noise until we get some closure. So let's see what happens today. I'm Vince. Have a great day.
Well, thank you, Vincent, for another wonderful morning show. And thank you at home for watching. Sure appreciate you being here and spending part of your day on the Arcata Economics YouTube channel. If you didn't already do so, go ahead and hit the subscribe button so that as Vince continues to lay out what is going to happen in the gold and silver markets, much like he's been talking about the mercantile environment that we're seeing play out now with Indonesia putting a tariff on their gold exports, China restricting their silver exports, and all the other stuff that's happening that we get to watch along as we all await our $2,000 government checks, which fortunately, I'm guessing everyone watching has a much better way to use that $2,000 and leave it in fiat currency. So we'll keep you posted on that. And real quick, before we wrap up, did just want to thank Fortuna Mining, who, as you might imagine, had a very strong third quarter, which they just released the results of about 2 weeks ago now. And one of the things that's really exciting is that as they're benefiting from also focusing on lower cost ounces while the gold price is elevated, they've ended up with quite a liquidity position. They're working towards reaching a construction decision at their Diamba Sud gold project, And I did have Jorge Ganoza, the CEO of Fortuna, on the show about a week ago to talk about the third quarter. And here's a quick comment from Jorge on their latest results.
We're very excited about where we see the company today. As we've shown quarter after quarter, the business is performing well. We're really capturing the benefits of this high price environment. As you just pointed out, we are increasing our margins, increasing our cash flow, free cash flow generation. And more importantly, we are set up to continue with our next leg of growth, relying on exploration success within the portfolio and the advancement of the Ambasud, which will be our next coal mine. And we published not only the PEA results, which I'm sure we're going to dig into, which shows a project with very robust economics. We are looking forward to make that construction decision early next year. But we are also advancing the project on the permitting side, fast-tracking it. And again, at the same time, the business is running on all engines and expanding margins. We're generating very healthy free cash flow.
Well, thank you, Jorge. Always great to have him on the show. In the midst of an environment where we see the elevated gold price, a lot of people wanting to capture that rally, I think it's really helpful to have a company that you've seen lay out what they're going to do and then execute on it. Of course, do your due diligence, and that's why we have Jorge on the show, so that you can hear what they're doing. Also, always good to contact them, which you can see up there at the contact tab at fortunamining.com. And in case you missed the full interview with Jorge, well, that one is coming your way now.